You hear what I said? The practice of ministry, the life of slavery, and divine order. Just short meditations. I want us to just bear in mind. The book of Luke, chapter 17, that's where I will start from. The book of Luke, quickly. Let those of us who are here enjoy this. From verse 5, it says, "And the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith like a mustard seed, you will say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you." Now, but my main message is from verse 7. I just said that verse 5 because that's where the paragraph began in my Bible. It said, "But which of you, having a slave, plowing or tending sheep, will say to him," verse 7, that's where I am now, "when he has come in from the field, come immediately and sit down to eat. But will he not say to him, prepare something for me to eat, and properly clothe yourself, and serve me until I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink? He does not thank the slave because he did the things which he commanded, does he?" In verse 10 it says, "So you too, when you do all the things which I commanded you, say, we are unworthy slaves. We have done only that which we ought to have done." He said, when you have done everything, what you need to do is to go to the Lord and confess again that we are just slaves and that that's all we are, that what we have done is just that which we ought to have done, that that is the commandment that we have executed. Now, you know, I told you last time that I just wanted to be, occasionally I'll share with us what I call meditations. And the reason why I decided to be doing that, a number of reasons, but most importantly is the fact that every day as I go around, I see things and thoughts come to my mind. And I just feel like I should share some of those thoughts. And then occasionally there are short messages I just want to release into the life of people. So I say, let me just alternate it sometimes with our School of Bible Exegesis. I call them meditations. Is that okay? So practical things, all right? I may just come here one day and teach all the husbands, there are not many of them, how to love their wives. All right, the Lord is good. Now, so along the line, what I just want to share with us today, again, is to correct some mentality about Christians, about Christianity. Let us understand what real Christianity is. There are a few points which, if we don't get right, we misunderstand the purpose of things because we have some foundations very, very wrong, you know, in our lives. And this is one of the things that I want us to get. If you go and read the Bible, if you see the word servant, all right? If you see the word servant in most scriptures, I use the Bible called the New American Standard. And it comes with a lot of recommendation, actually, from a lot of solid men of God. Now, it's not every preacher that's actually a Bible scholar. You know that. You know that. Uh-huh. All right? You don't have to be a Bible scholar to be a preacher. In fact, most prophets are not. You follow what I'm saying? Uh-huh. But from a number of Bible scholars I have read, one of them is Derek Prince. Okay? There are a number of them. There's one man that's not very popular in Pentecostal circles. His name is Time or something. I don't know how to pronounce it properly. It's an American. Those are Bible scholars who have studied. It's not just they are preachers. They are preachers. They are Bible scholars. This is why a combination of preacher men and Bible scholars, all right? And I have discovered that quite a number of them, I know of these two particularly, and some other ones, they have particularly recommended the New American Standard Bible. I'm not by this saying that you must go and get one, all right? Really the one that blesses you most. But that's the one I use. Even before I heard their recommendations, there's a reason why I began to use it many years ago. We're not discussing that now. Now, you see that if you read the New American Standard, which is what I use, the word slave, that's why I tell the story. And I say all of that to let you know that it's a very, very good word. That is, if some Bible use the word servant, but Paul uses the word slave. The correct word, the most appropriate word for what Paul says most of the time in the English language is what? Slave. There's a reason why I'm saying that. Okay, you see the word bond servant in some other Bibles. Do you understand? You also see the word bond slave also. Now, they mean about the same thing. But the point I want to make here is this. If you read, for example, from the book of Colossians chapter 4, it will tell you, if you read verse 12, it says, Epaphras, who is one of your number, a born slave, all right, of Jesus Christ, sends his greetings. Now, that word born slave or the word slave is what I want to use. I want to highlight the fact that when you talked about the service of Christ, you see a lot of times the word that are used, words like a bond servant, bond slave, those are words that are used, which that's to let us know the kind of idea that he's trying to pass across to us. That's what the life of Christianity is. You know, those days when I started learning the word of faith, people used to say something like, we are not servants of God. We are children of God. Now, I say that that's very interesting, actually, because there's nothing like we are not servants of God and we are children of God. The fact is that we are actually servants or born servants of God. In fact, if you are not a born servant of Christ Jesus, you're actually a very useless person to God on this earth. Do you follow what I'm going to say? What matters is that you are a born slave of Christ Jesus. I'm trying to get something to our minds. I want to change some perspective, the mentality that a lot of Christians have, that we are not, you know, because what it does is that it makes us appear, and that's why we lean towards the gospel all the time, that says as if all we do is so we can get, you know, the reason, I know you don't like it, you must be tired of it, but it's not my fault, I hear it all the time. The reason why you give is so that you can get, and let me say it again, if you are thinking like that, I actually think you are spiritually mental. Do you follow what I'm saying? Let's get it clear. A Christian does not give because he wants to get. A Christian gives because he's supposed to give, and he's a servant, all right, that gives. Do you follow what I'm going to say? We read here in the book of Luke, chapter 17, that Jesus said something. He said, if you have a servant and he comes, he walks. When he comes back home, do you quickly, all right, tell him, sit down? You don't tell him, sit down, let me quickly get something for you to eat. Is that what you do? He said, no, you have walked, you have come home now. There is more work to be done. Do you understand what I'm trying to say here? That is, and that's the attitude that Paul explains to us a lot concerning his life as a believer. He uses the word, the fact that he is a born servant of Christ Jesus. If you see a lot of those apostles, when they want to introduce themselves, they qualify themselves as what? Born servants. You know, the correct word there is that word, born servant or slave. Some translations will use the word born servant. For the same thing, some will use the word slave. Again, if you see it in Colossians chapter 1, it is there. I just want to read what Paul said there from around verse 7. I was talking about the Epaphras again. Just verse 7, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow born servant. Now, who is a faithful servant of Christ on our behalf? Now, I want to explain something here. What did they call him? A fellow born servant. That is, we are born servants here. He's also what? A born servant. Do you follow what I'm saying? Now, please, I want us to get that point. So you see Paul using that word a lot, born servant. The reason is because that is a correct mentality that a believer is supposed to have. Bond means that I am bound to this thing, all right? I have made a vow to serve this person till death. Do you follow what I'm saying? And I read that scripture to highlight the point to us that is the attitude that Jesus said is becoming of real servants of God. Do you follow what I'm saying? That is, we don't just say that, we have walked. It is time to enjoy. Now, the reason, and that's why I said that I want to correct the mentality of believers. What we generally have in mind most times is that once I have done something, then God rewards me with what? Enjoyment. And when we teach it, a lot of people get the impression that what you are saying is that having served God, you will now come and begin to enjoy. Let me say this to make you laugh. A brother saw me once and said that, it's all the materials, our CDs, our books and stuff. He said, Pastor Bank, you have really, really worked. Oh, how's everything? He now asked me, do you still work in the university, in the hospital where you're working? I said, yes, I do. He said, why are you still bothering now? All you need to do is settle down, grow your church, and then you will now settle down and begin to enjoy. Now, do you understand the mentality? And he was a deacon in a church, and as far as I was concerned, that's what was going on. He said, grow your church, get to a level where you can now be getting a lot of money. And then, that's the beginning of enjoyment. And we had a very good laugh that day. And he said a lot of things that you don't want to repeat. You don't want to repeat in public. There are things that he had actually experienced. But I told that story to let you understand that's a lot of people's mentality. Do you follow me? Now, let me take Joseph as an example. I said meditations, just a few things I'm going to tell us and I'm out of here. Now, Joseph is a very good example, you know, in the scriptures. The way we explain it. Now, I use that explanation, but I want you people to get this point. Not with the kind of heart that a lot of people hear it. Joseph was a servant, all right? He served in his father's house. His father loved him, but at least he served. Then from his father's house, he served as a slave in Potiphar's house. And then he went into prison and continued serving. And then one day, this is why we say it, then God now rewarded his labor and he became prime minister. And the oppression, when I say oppression now, you know when it's Nigeria talking about oppression, say the guy they oppress. This oppressive mentality in the heart of most people, in the heart of poverty mentality people, and that's what I call poverty mentality, people who don't understand the correct concept of life. And because Jesus said the Lord, the rulers of the Gentiles, lord it over them. So we having that, most of us having that attitude of the rulers of the Gentiles, with the attitude to lord it over people, we think that what has happened to Joseph is that now he has stepped into the realm of lording it. Do you get what I'm saying? We think now he has entered. He cannot start lording it. So now if Joseph wants anything, wow, he doesn't need to worry anymore. All he needs to do is call his servants. And any food he wants will be upon his table. If he's going out, they will clear the road for him. And you know the way it is. You settle down and see a man whose road is being cleared for him. And you think that what he is doing is that he's what? He's enjoying. I don't know whether you get what I'm trying to explain. Now, it's a worldly mentality. And that's what Jesus said. He said the rulers of this world, they lord it over their subjects. He said, but you, listen, you are not supposed to lord it over people. What are you supposed to do? You are supposed to be a servant of people. Listen, get this point. You have to get the mentality correctly so that you will never, now listen to me, let me say clearly again, you must never, never, ever, ever, ever demand anything from God because you have done what is right. Jesus said it categorically, and we must never forget that he did. He said in Luke chapter 17, he said, you also, verse 10, when you do all the things which I commanded you, say, we are unworthy slaves or unworthy bond servants. We have done only that which we ought to have done. When you give offering, when you give money, either to the work of the ministry or to charitable works or to a man of God, it is forbidden. I command you under God never to do this sorcery that is outside there. One day I was somewhere, somebody was preaching that if you want to tap into a man's grace, you know, he wanted a man's grace. He carried money and went and gave to the man. I just whispered beside me. I said, that is sorcery. Are you getting my point? It is what? What did I call it? It is sorcery. It is not Christianity. What Jesus said is clear. Listen, if you give an offering, let me command you in the name of the Lord, never ever approach the throne of God quoting the fact that you have given, it should bless you. You are mad if you do that. I'm very angry. I'm saying like this, and I want to enter your head that this is how God feels about it. It is forbidden. Look, let's get it clear. I said you must never finish giving an offering. And then you go to God and go and quote it as the reason why he should bless you. This is what Christians are supposed to do. If you give an offering for whatever good cause you have done it, when you finish, you will turn to the Lord and say, Father, I thank you because I have done that which you commanded that I should do. That this does not give me right to approach the throne of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's why I call it the practice of ministry. I'm going to say something about that further. All right? What's the next thing I said? The life of slavery, yes. And the divine order. That is, this is what God created it to be. There is a practice of ministry, which you must understand is not sowing a seed for the time of enjoyment. That's what I want you to get. You see, when we are preaching sometimes, people don't get what you are trying to explain. But it's actually what, and I'm telling the truth, this is actually what I have in mind when I'm talking. A man who has multitudes of resources, okay? You've heard me say it before. God doesn't see it as, for him, it's what? Enjoyment. He sees it as a greater opportunity to do the will of God, which he had done on a smaller level. That's the way it is. I was talking about Joseph earlier. That we look at Joseph a lot of times and say that he now began to enjoy. I have preached, and this is a matter of fact, that what happened to Joseph was that he was elevated to the position of prime minister, all right, at the age of 30. having been faithful all his years, having done what God said he should do, having worked in the manner that is pleasing to God, then one day God elevated him to a position, not of enjoyment, oh boy, of doing what? Greater service. Do you get the point I'm making? God never elevated him because of enjoyment. He elevated him so that he can be of what? Greater service. The reason why, now this is divine order. Jesus said, you see it. You know, let me just, I just want to say this again to let you know the way Christians make a mistake. And it is not right for them to think like that. Now, once I was somewhere, a young man was preaching. And he said, let us make a lot of noise. All right? He said, let's make a lot of noise. You are a king, you are a ruler. He said, when worldly kings and governors are going, don't they make noise in front of them? Now begin to make noise. I said, yeah, this man has made a mistake. If you read Mark chapter 10, you know what Jesus said? He said, you know that, that's verse 42. He said, you know that those who are recognized as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. But it is not so among you. Now, I want to stop there. Of course, we're not talking about the fact that you're supposed to be a servant. But what I want to bring out is that the fact that something goes on in the world in a particular fashion, do you understand my point? Does not mean it's the proper order in Christianity. We are not supposed to copy. You follow what I'm saying? No, that is not what we're supposed to do. So the man said, if the world rulers make noise, that's their problem. The way they do things is not a standard for the Christian to try to emulate. And that's how we interpret things if we have this worldly mentality. Now, in Christianity, so you now ask me that, okay, is it that if a Christian becomes governor, they shouldn't blow a siren in front of him? That is not the point we are making. We must understand the reason behind something. Now, the other day I was reading John Gillick, one of my favorite authors. And John Gillick was describing how people were tapping into the spirit of Christ. Now, he wrote that message. He preached that message around 1914, thereabout. And he announced that, he made reference to the fact that Henry Ford at that time just announced that he was going to share $10 million of their profit with the workers. And he has set a minimum wage of about $3 per week. I'm not sure of the figures now, which for that time was a lot of money. $10 million then is like $1 billion now. You follow what I'm going to say? That the man said he was going to share with all his workers. And John Gillick was explaining that this man had tapped into the spirit of Christ. Then he was describing that the man had come to understand the spirit behind giving. Do you follow my point? He now said something, which is what I'm referring to, that a lot of people now come to interpret it as that the man is very smart. He wants to attract the best brains to his company. Now, the fact that the best brains will come to his company does not mean that's why he did it. Do you get my point? Listen, give and it shall be given unto you. No, I've said that thing again and again. We have deliberately in Christianity misread Jesus Christ. And I think it is just because of the inherent depravity of our minds that we have put perversion into the preaching of Christ. Jesus never said, give so that it will be given unto you. Did he ever say that? There is a world of difference, listen to me, child of God, between give and it shall be given unto you and give so that it might be given unto you. Give and it shall be given unto you is a statement of fact, is a law of the spirit which applies to things physical. Henry Ford will give out money like that and pay minimum wage. Yes, of course, the best brains will come to work for him. But that was not why he did it. After all, if you look at the foundation of his doctrines, all right, of his practices, he said every man should be able to drive a car. He wasn't trying to sell cars to the best brains. I'm bringing out something. People who do understand, we begin to interpret correct things, all right, in the negative light. I was saying something earlier. So he said, okay, what if a Christian now becomes a governor? Shouldn't they blow siren? Let me explain something to you. They asked this man once, Benny Hinn. Benny Hinn was on Larry King Live, and Larry King asked him a question. He said, no, they were describing things, you know, they were discussing things, how Christians, preachers these days behave. And let me tell you something. It is a matter of fact that we have brought a lot of shame to Christianity. Some of the things I do, apart from the fact that they are correct, all right? Sometimes I do them to teach people what is right. For example, I never announce offering time, blessing time. Is it because we don't like offerings in Kingdom World Ministry? It's not, that would be stupid. You hear the way of society we broadcast is not free. This place where we are, we pay rent. Nobody gives us a discount because it's a ministry. As we pay here, so other people pay. Are you getting my point? If we pay lower, it's probably because of personal relationship by the fact that we have been here for a long time. Do you get my point? It's not because we're a ministry.
On Cosmo FM, they collect their money. We pay, as of today, we are paying Cosmo FM about 1.2 million naira every year to run those programs. It's not free. Nobody gives it for free. But the bank, you must have money. I don't pay. I have a certain amount that we give as a family to Kingdom World Ministries. All the other money, I give to Kingdom World like any other person. I told God from the beginning, if people will not give money to this, you have not sent me. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I refuse to be a successful rich man who now preaches out of zeal. I've told you, I'm always afraid when I see rich people do ministry. I'm not saying it's wrong, go. Are you getting what I'm saying? It always scares me. Because you can fund all your ideas. if Satan speaks to you, you can fund it. If you speak to yourself, you can fund it. If God speaks to you, you can fund it. So really, you need to be extremely spiritually mature and disciplined and have an insight. Do you get my point? To be able to run the ministry with plenty of money. That is why most people that God called to ministry doesn't send it with a lot of cash. John G. Lake that I refer to was a very rich man, successful rich man materially. When he was going to ministry, he sold everything he had. He had to be praying to God to send money for transportation. I'm not saying you have to do that. I'm just explaining a principle, all right? That I told myself, God, I will give money like everybody else. Now, there's a reason why I'm saying this. I was trying to explain a principle, okay? That the reason why I do what I do is not because I don't like. I told all that story to let you know that we receive offerings. We do. If you have never given money to Kingdom, make sure you are extremely poor. Otherwise, no, really. Make sure you are so broke. Because there's nothing like, one day when I have money, listen, my friend, if you cannot share your 10 naira, all right, and take 1 naira out of it, when you have money, you won't do it also. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Uh-huh. All right? No, as a matter of fact, we do receive offerings. And I teach believers. My book on the gospel of giving, the title of the book is Grace to Prosper. It's already in the press. By God's mercy, within the next 1 month, it should be out in circulation. Please make sure you read it. It turns out to be the biggest book I have printed to date. Please make sure you read it. Because in that book, I went line by line trying to explain to people why you do what you do. A believer is a servant. He doesn't sow so he can reap. You understand what I'm saying? Not in that way. The real seed of a Christian is to give him more seed to sow. Paul said that God is able to make all, how did he say it? He said, he that furnishes seed to the sower and bread for food shall both multiply and increase your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. What he was trying to say is that he increased what? Your seed for sowing. You sowed in small fashion. God said one day you will have the ability to sow in bigger fashions. One brother that has given 1 million naira 2 times to Kingdom World Ministries. One day he and I were speaking on the phone. He said, sir, you remember the first time I gave you an offering? I said, I can't remember. He said, it was 1,000 naira. I was a student. And you came to our school and you shared tracts out to us. And all that came to my mind was that somebody has to pay for this thing. These tracts are costing money. Are you getting my point? He said, and he thought to himself, he was a student who had of very, very humble means. But he told himself, this thing is coming from somewhere. So he took, 1,000 naira, I know it must have been precious to him. And he gave it to me. I can't remember, it's been quite a while, all right? But that was where he started from. Until a time came in which I would get a phone call. Sir, I just paid 1 million naira into Kingdom World Ministries account. He said from somewhere. There are people when you want to pray. It's not this guy, Pastor, you want to pray for those who have money. Not a matter of fact. It's just that there are people I know that if you make them a billionaire tomorrow, Kingdom World Ministry will never have any problem. It's not because we love people who are rich. Because I know when they had only 10 naira, I need to tell people that the biggest gift I gave my dad before he died was I bought him a car. But the first gift I gave him were underwears. When I left school, I had to buy a gift for my father. There are people, when that young man was seeing the tracks, are you getting my point? And saying that somebody has to be paying for this. There are those who are thinking that our pastor is a doctor, now he works. I'm sure he has money. That's what I call poverty mentality. It doesn't cross your mind that you can be a giver. Let me tell you something. People come all the time, you know, they are raising money, they give envelopes, sir. If you want to miss out on getting envelope or getting me to contribute to something, make the mistake of approaching me and say, sir, your program has been a blessing. And then say, we are raising money. I will almost curse you to your face. You are an idiot. My program has been a blessing. And the answer to it is that you should come and take more money from me. Are you a goat? My program has been a blessing. You don't realize that it costs money to put that program on air. A lot of poverty mentality people, that's all they think about. That is because you have money, that's why you're on air. The first time we paid for the Way of Success, the first 10 weeks, it was money my wife had planned for. I'm teaching you something. I sowed the seed for Way of Success. Now, not this kind of idiotic and God-forsaken satanic seed we sow these days. I sold a phone, Pastor, and I got a car. May your car perish with you. May that car knock engine when it will embarrass you the most. What do I call seed? Seed is that as of today, millions of naira has gone into paying for the Way of Success. And I can tell you, I only had to pay personally for the first 10 weeks. Since then, everybody has been paying. One day I called you. I said, I asked you, who's so and so person? You said, you don't know. I asked him, who's so and so person? I don't know. Why? Because I just checked our accounts and 140,000 naira has been credited into it. I don't know from where. I asked, who is this person? He kind of said, sir, there's one guy who has been calling all the time, asking for Kingdom World account number. That is seed for sowing. No, Pastor, I gave out the shoe. Now I have extra tire. Tomorrow I will sow extra tire. I will get a car. Listen to me. Once you have heard me preach, those tires will disappoint you when you need them the most. How do you sow seeds as a Christian? I went by somewhere, Pastor, and they were trying to erect this building in an orphanage. I didn't have money, but all I had was this 15,000 that I have saved up for something, and I gave it to them, and I prayed that God will finish the project. Pastor, I passed there last week, and believe me, they have finished that project. And I know it's because partly because of the spirit that I poured into it. Have you gotten anything? Nothing. Nothing. But you know how God rewards you? Tomorrow, now when I say reward, are you hearing what I'm saying? This is how God rewards you. Reward. God is a very, very hard taskmaster. Listen to what I'm saying. Hear it well. When he told the parable of the talents and the parable of the minions, he said, I knew you were what? A hard taskmaster. That was how his disciple, his servant described him. He said, oh, you knew I was a hard taskmaster. Very good. He said, your mouth has testified against you. Why did you not put my money to interest? God is a strong businessman. He hates people wasting things. He said, after he multiplied bread to feed multitudes, and they gathered, you know what last thing he told them? He said, gather up the remnants, let nothing be wasted. Somebody who just multiplied in abundance. He said, I want all the ones remaining. Gather them. Now, you are getting what I'm trying to say. God, it does, look, he's a smart business person. So when he sees a faithful servant, what he does is to deploy him to harder places. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So the Joseph who could manage a prison cell, who could manage a prison yard, who was compassionate about the problems of other people, even when they didn't call him, he said, that Joseph is fit to be prime minister. Listen to me. If you have, look, let me just give us an example. One day somebody moved into a new house, my friend and I, the guy downstairs. We were there, he moved and joined us. He said, Banky, why don't you hire him a guard? I said, me, I'm not interested, though. He said, why? I said, only four of us live in this house. You and your wife, me and my wife. I said, a whole megad, he will fall sick. It will be our headache. He needs salary, it's our headache. Are you getting what I'm saying? Everything that happens to him is our headache. I said, right now, do you think I have the capacity to carry another adult's headache? I said, not yet. He said, I get your point. I said, we can open our own gate and close our own gate. What am I trying to say? The man who doesn't have any employee, he has less troubles than the man who has 10,000. There is no union that nobody can form against you. Do you know what I'm saying? If you don't have anybody working for you, can they form a union? When you have 10,000 workers and they unionize, you're in trouble. I'm going to explain something. You see a man who has 10,000 employees, he is not at peace as much as the man who has none. And the basic thing about Christianity is that God gives food to everybody to eat. He said, look at the birds of the field. All right? So the grass of the field and the birds of the air. He said, they do not toil. All right? They don't gather into bands. Another do they spin. Yet your heavenly Father provides for them. Solomon, he said, in all of his glory, didn't have as much comfort as this grass of the field. I'm adding my own words now to explain something. That the what God owes everybody is the same level of comfort once you're a child of his. I was reading a portion in the book I was referring to earlier, Grace to Prosper. I said, people say, giving is the key to receiving. And I say, I beg to disagree. I quoted four scriptures before I gave my own answer to the key to receiving. He said, Jesus said, ask and you shall what? Receive, that your joy may be full. James said, you have not because you ask not. Ask in my name. And the heavenly, no, I said, I give about four scriptures. I said, let me tell you simply, the key to receiving is what? Asking. What is giving is a matter of responsibility. Jesus said, when I have given, I will go and say, Master, all I have done is what you told me to do. I cannot come to you and say, yesterday, sir, I gave a 1 gig flash drive. Hallelujah. Today I got a 2 gig flash drive. Amen. I know very soon I'll soon get a hard disk. Then when I give out the hard disk, I'll get the laptop. And when I give out the laptop, you are of your father, the devil. And you get what I'm going to say? You are selfish. You only think of yourself. You don't understand the principle of servanthood. That doctrine is very popular in the body of Christ. Some of us seem commissioned to go out and go and correct it. Listen. What believers do is serve God. And when God wants to reward them, he increases their level of service. I said, God is a hard taskmaster. Are you getting what I'm saying? If he finds that you work very well, he gives you more work to do. No, let's read a few scriptures so you get my principle here. You know what I'm telling you? It's not something that I dreamt of. It's in the scriptures like that. I didn't imagine it. You know, maybe I just thought of something. Most invitations I get, I don't know anyway. So nobody can come and tell me that we're not going to invite you again. Once you hear the kind of way you're preaching about money, it's your personal problem. Your people will go and buy the discs from shops. I'm serious. Look, nobody. I went somewhere to go and preach once. Before they called me up, the pastor crept up to my side. He said, you see, this our church is small. And I saw him hesitating. I didn't know what was scratching his yansh. I didn't know there was nothing there. He just that he was afraid to get up and come and talk to me. He will shift small. I said, okay, I didn't think much about it. On the finally gathered the boldness and came and sat beside me. What is the problem? He said, our church is small. But then when you get up, just encourage them to sow a seed, to sow a seed. I said, are you not the pastor of the church? You'll be in a better situation to go and kill yourself early, not me. I didn't say it like that too. I said, you are the pastor of the church, eh? I said, okay, you go and do it yourself. I don't know how to do it. You will never turn me into a money-raising machine. God forbid. I love my wife. I love my children. I love the ministry that I'm doing. I intend to live long. What I say to one, I say to all. Jesus looked at Ken Hagin and said, be careful about money. Be careful about money. I have renounced every secret thing of dishonesty, handling the word of God deceitfully. No, I won't do it. Like I told you last time, I won't practice witchcraft. If I want to tell you to give, I will tell you to your face. Brethren, no, listen, I will do this one day. You guys will be surprised. Well, you won't be surprised. I've told you ahead of time. But I told you everything is in season. Listen to me. As a man of God, in quotes, as a preacher, as a man who feeds people with the word of God, I have the right to reap their material prosperity that came to them because of the word that I preached, as a matter of fact. But everything is in season. But the season will come, and I believe that very, very soon. I will just come and say, brethren, I want to buy a new car. Price is about 6.5 million naira. All right? Anybody who feels led to participate, see me after service, after the teaching. Don't see me to ask questions. So I've told you the amount. If you just need more, just come and give me money. And that's all I will say. I will say it straight to your face. Not more than that. I won't come and tell you, I came today with a secret to give you a breakthrough you never saw before. You are a thief. The fact is that you want to collect money. Why don't you say it? I am one person, I'm never afraid to do it. 20 years ago in my church, pastor asked me, you know, there was somebody told me some issues that came up and all of that, money-wise and, you know, church matter. And I was supposed to preach that day. I got up, I preached a very, very hard message, very hot. When I finished my message, I ended it. I closed the Bible. I said, I thought I had two things to do. They said, yeah. I said, that was the first one. This is the second one. Oh boy, Blessed Church, they broke right now. Who get money for their? That is, there's no story behind it. This is our church. All of us will contribute money. I remember once I was supposed to, and that is good. You say, I may not do some things. Doesn't mean they are wrong, all right? There are ministries that run on partners. In fact, there's something I'm thinking about doing now. I won't share that with you, about the door that opened. I've never done it before. I may just decide to do it. I'm just thinking whether I should do it, all right? Okay? So, it's okay for ministries to run on partners. It's okay. They just raise partners at the beginning of the year. So, that day in church, we're going to do something like that. And it fell upon me to preach. I told everybody, first question I asked simply was, I asked Pastor, how much does it cost exactly? On the average to run this church. And he told me, and I said, fine, that's what I'm going to tell people. And I told everybody, this is about how much it costs to run this church effectively every month. So you are going to look inside your soul and make a commitment for 12 months. 12 months. Nobody's pressurizing you. And that's what they say, sleep. They'll pass a sleep around. At the bottom of the sleep, they wrote prayer point. I said, please don't feel it. This sleep is not about praying for you. Everybody laughs. They said, Pastor Banker has come. I said, yes, I have come. Normally, when you finish, they wrote at the back, prayer point. I said, in Jesus' name, don't write any prayer point there. I am sharing this slip to you to collect your money, not to pray for you. Those who want prayer after service, who's in charge of prayer now? Hey, go and see him. He prays for free. That the prayer is for free. Are you getting my point? I said that prayer is for free. As for this one I'm doing, it is so that our church will run smoothly and all of us have to contribute. Even me, I'm standing here, I'm contributing my own. I filled my own, how much as a family will give every month for the next 12 months. I said, so, because at the end of 12 months, you will come again and do this thing again. That's how I do my things. I say to your face, wow. Believe me, if God lets it go like that, I can just wake up one day. I just call 10 people. I've told you I'll do. In fact, the one I'm really looking forward in Jesus' name to do in one day is I will call only two people. Two. And when you call two people, it's not out of prayer. You know, they say, Shakabogod, I pray that I receive their names. No. You just know those who will give you something when you ask. Because they have given you before. Yes, I don't have to pray and receive. Under such circumstances, what I need to do is receive a word that says I shouldn't do it. And that one, I won't even ask for that word. God has to rush the word. Like, Gabriel, tell him quickly. Angel Gabriel, quickly, go and tell him. Don't take that off. Yes. Because what I'm going to do is on Saturday be around. Make sure you don't miss the message I'm bringing on Saturday. About how to use your common sense to discern the will of God. It is God's responsibility to go and stop you when you are going wrong. You get my point? God is a father, very loving father. Said, learn to discern the voice of the Spirit. Listen, my friend, if I love you and you are my son, you are my child, and there is a snake crawling towards your leg, will I speak to you in Latin? I won't say that. I will descend the language that you understand. Do you understand my point? And say that one to you. God, if I'm that wise, I'm sure God is wiser. Are you getting what I'm saying? And that just by the way, don't let me digress what I'm saying. I'm looking forward to it. To that day I will do it. I just say, sweetheart, that's my wife. Last week is my birthday. So I was driving today. I saw this particular car and I think I like it. I stopped by and I asked the people. They told me it was 17.8 million. All right? And it's next week. I must get it in Jesus' name. I just carry my phone. Oh boy, how now? Pastor, we are fine. I hope you have about 10 million naira there. Anything happening? Yes, my birthday is next week. The car is down the road. I give you the address. Two of you meet there, share the price, share the cost. If you want to prosper next year, bring the cow. Don't let me get angry. It's a matter of season. It's a matter of what? Season. And the people I'll be talking to, they will laugh. All they will do is just laugh. Because God will have multiplied their seed for sowing. Are you getting the point I'm making? Let's get this clear. I was saying that the parable of of the minas, go and read it. What happened is that God increases people's ability to work for him. He doesn't reward them with, you were sitting in a small chair before, now sit in a big chair. He doesn't do that. Yes, there will be periods of hardship and training in which God fine-tunes your spirit. Do you get my point? He said, I will first make you hungry, then I feed you with manna. There is a season for that. then there is a season in which I lead you into abundance. That's a normal Christian walk. All right? But that is different from when somebody super abounds unto all good works. I taught you in previous times about what I call the ministry of he that giveth, who is commanded to do it with liberality. Just like somebody who is teaching is supposed to be diligent in his teaching. And he said, he that gives, make sure you give with liberality. A lot of people get confused by testimonies. The problem is that they are tapping an anointing that they don't even have the calling to use. I don't know what you're getting what I'm going to say. I mean, no matter how much faith you have, you don't have to be Bill Gates. God doesn't owe anybody the responsibility to make you the richest man in the world. You can sow from now till you die. It doesn't change that fact. I have prayed a prayer. It's a very dangerous prayer. I'm sure my wife, I don't know how much she likes the prayer herself. But I think I'm inspired to pray the prayer. I said, God, don't bless me outside the prosperity of those I've ministered your word to. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Before God blesses me directly, say, look at you, start doing business, start doing this and all of that. It will be because those who I minister to have proved to be unfaithful children. And it will be judgment for them if God has to do that. I know what I'm saying. Look, what I'm trying to say is that it's ministry. It's ministry. Listen to me. A day will come in the name of Jesus Christ, counting in today's dollars. I will sit down and count the number of sons of mine in the ministry who are blessed with the word of God, who are there doing businesses, and I'll count 10 billionaires. That is, if I decide I want to fly a jet, I will call two of them. Two of you buy me a jet, I want it by the end of next month. And they won't even think about it. Why am I struggling with Bill Gates? The closest I come to business is because my wife does business. Otherwise, I would have been content to just teaching, with just teaching in the university where I teach and teaching the word of God here. No, listen, that's like, I'm trying to explain something. It's about being a servant. I have never prayed. That's why you don't hear me shout, offering time, blessing time. Listen, last Saturday, we had the largest number of people on a regular day here. You notice, the new seats we bought, all of them were taken up. It happened to be the day I took announcements. And I did not mention to anybody that we had a basket there. If you notice, I didn't do it deliberately, I just forgot. I just said, those who want to give to us, go and see Mr. Maker. They're asking for information and stuff like that. You understand? Now, why do I forget such things? Because really, I'm not dependent. I don't believe I will get more money to do the work of Kingdom World Ministries because there are more people here. No. Because the prayer I have prayed from time is that God should give me 12 men. 12. 12. 12. 12 people that when they want to give an offering is 200 million. I'm not talking about, praise God. Dip your hand into your right pocket. Pull it out. What about the left pocket? Is the Lord not speaking to you? I do not intend to run a begging ministry. No. In Jesus' name, I refuse it. What I expect is that if you give 10 naira, it is because that is what you have. Are you getting my point? It is not because every time they minister the word of God to you, you must. No. He said, honor the Lord with thy substance. And the first of all thy increase. Listen, you give crumbs to beggars. When that book comes, I'll read it. We'll discuss that one in more details as I go on. There are different principles of giving. It's in that book, and I'll teach it along the way. Don't let me digress too much. But there are different things you give to different people. One woman stopped me on the downstairs here one day. He said, give me money. I said, why should I give you money? She said, because she's hungry and you are poor. All right, no problem. I checked my pocket. Normally, I give beggars change. I didn't see change. Finally, the only change I found was 10 naira. So I gave it to her. The woman looked at the 10 naira and carried her eye away. That day, there was something spiritual about the encounter. Because I called her and began to instruct her. I said, I hope you know you're a beggar. And beggars are not supposed to have a choice. I said, come here. Did you do any work for me? She said, no. Why am I giving you 10 naira and you are refusing it? He said, because food is more expensive than 10 naira. I'm not joking. No. God, who I serve with all my heart, knows what I'm telling is not a joke. Go and ask Chicken. He will tell you that this really happened. Downstairs here. I looked at the woman. I said, do you realize you're a beggar? If I give you 10 naira, and that man will give you 10 naira, you add everything together, then it will reach the amount of food. She did that, I should not take. So that day, the woman and I, we finished chatting. I said, well, I'm very sorry. You're a beggar. And this is what I give beggars. If I had 20 naira, I would have given you. That's what I was actually telling to give you. But after I locked her, I gave her more money for a simple reason. She's not mentally all right. Of course, that's why we're chatting like that. If you look at the woman, they're mentally together. And secondly, she was pregnant. Don't ask me whether the husband was not mentally all right, too. I don't know. And I just know that if a pregnant person is hungry, it's not exactly very good. So that's why I gave her more money. I told her simply. And I educated her. I said, next time they give you small money, listen, madam, you're a beggar. Get used to the fact. You're supposed to take it. She said, okay, thank you. So I gave her the $1. And I gave her 100 naira. I said, this one can buy food. She said, yes. And I gave her 100 naira. Now, what am I telling the story? I just gist anyway. All right. But the main issue is the fact that that's how you deal with it. That's begging. I have never believed that the work of the ministry is the work of begging. That's what I'm telling the whole story. I have believed that as Pastor Banky is called, so is Giver A called. Pastor Banky is not an office, it's not promotion. I hope you get my point. The word pastor is not promotion. It's not you have been faithful. You used to be a normal person before, we are now made you a pastor. No. It's an office. It's a calling. All right? My father had to marry my mother so that I would give birth to somebody like me so that I can teach the word of God the way I do. It's a calling. There are people that God passed through different experiences again in their lives to make sure that they are able to give offerings regularly. 1 million, 1 million, half a million, 500,000, 50,000. You get my point? Like that. It's also a calling. A lot of people who are supposed to be preachers, they think it's by going to give it like they had one big man give. That's how they begin to receive, like, look, listen, my friend. When people come to me, something like Kingdom Ministry, they say, hey, they need assistance. I said, what do you mean by assistance? He said, financial. I said, Kingdom World Ministries does not give financial assistance. So people say, a ministry must give so as to receive is a lie. A ministry must do the work that they sent him to them to do so that they can get more resources. I don't believe it. I give personally as a person. Last person that mentioned that to me, I said, if I give anything, it's as a person. But Kingdom World Ministries, outside our scope, we spend all our money printing, all right, renting, buying fuel, paying for broadcasts. I'm not saying that charity is wrong, but we don't run charity right now. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Uh-huh. Now, why did I go into all of that? I'm just trying to emphasize that people should understand that it's a matter of service and that every child of God is called as a slave of Jesus Christ. And what he or she is supposed to do is to discover his slavery area. Do you understand my point? Your plantation field. And go and walk there. And stop him, and stop the crap of coming back and say, I have walked. God, I want to sit down. You serve me. I've told this, all these stories to let you understand that a lot of people misjudge testimonies. They don't know the real story behind it. And that's why a lot of them practice the things they heard from the pulpits and they don't get the same reward. Listen, I don't need to give 10,000 naira to reap 1 billion naira. I give 10,000 naira because I have the ability to give 10,000 naira and there are places that God has tied my heart to that need the 10,000 naira. If I want 1 billion naira, I preach hard. You don't get the point. I will preach to you until you prosper. You don't get what I'm saying. Yes. And this is an interesting fact. By the time I was saying something earlier. If a Christian becomes a governor, shouldn't they blow siren for him? They should. You know why? Do you know why? Because whether you like it or not, he's the most important human being, physically speaking, in that state. And it is forbidden under God that he should be inside traffic holdup. As a matter of fact, there are more people who don't like him that don't like an average other person. You know, other people, average other people. No, there are more people who don't like him. So there should be more security around him. I was telling you something earlier and I forgot to complete it. That once this man was on Larry King, Benny Hinn. All right, yeah, I got distracted. They asked Benny Hinn. People were calling in and talking about different things, money matter and all of that. They said, one woman said, Jesus never asked for money. Why do you? He said, Jesus never had to rent a hall for $300,000. I have to. That was the simple reason. He said, if I rent Madison Square Garden, I pay the same amount as Michael Jackson. Those were his words. He said, Michael Jackson charges gate fees. I don't. I said, wisdom. Now, listen, I didn't tell that story to say that I should be asking for money. That's not what I'm saying. But it was trying to explain the principle. That stop telling that Jesus did not ask, Jesus didn't take offering. Why do I? He said, listen, Jesus never had to rent Madison Square Garden. I have to periodically. And it's $300,000 for a night, the same amount Michael Jackson pays. Now, he now said, in the course of gist, they talked about where he lived, like an exclusive area and stuff like that, you know, big compound fence and gates, which, you know, in Nigeria is usual. In America, it is not. Do you understand my point? Most people don't live, most successful, wealthy people don't have fences around their homes. Do you get what I'm saying? Get that point clear. So for them, if it's Nigeria, we won't notice anything about it. Even the organizer in front of his house has to fence his machine. Otherwise, by night, the machine don't work out come out. American man, the way they are alive is very fun. The house is made of wood. And when they lock the door, they just turn one key. You can't try that kind of thing for Nigeria. The houses are not locked as far as I'm concerned. They don't lock their houses. It's not locked. If I run through the walls, if I can enter the house. But the society is different. If you break a door down by force, before you finish stealing, police they've arrested you. Because it's not here. Everybody could lock their door. They don't want to holler out. There, somebody will call police. 3 minutes later, police will come and say, excuse me, sir. Is that house yours? You better start explaining. Their life is different. So to live in a compound, a big house, big compound, fence, gate, and all of that, I mean, something must be up. So they asked him, why do you live in that kind of house? And the man said, you know the kind of person I am? The kind of visibility I have? If I live on an average road, imagine the traffic that will be at my door every day. And that's not a lie. And people had access to Jesus Christ. It's not true. To see Jesus was hard. It wasn't, you couldn't just walk in. Peter, bros day. Peter go first look, you go throw your fishing hook down your throat. No. There was another people came. And Peter, James, and John, and the other disciples fenced them off. Jesus from afar saw that there were children amongst them. He said, Peter, come. Let the children come to me. The adults, let them go home. That's the summary of it. Now, it wasn't easy. Why did you think Zacchaeus had to go and climb a tree? If it was so important, why didn't you just say, which hotel is he staying in? We'll see him at night. Are you getting my point? And if it was so easy to see him, why didn't he say that? Which hotel is he staying? No. Zacchaeus said to even take a look. And Zacchaeus was a rich man who could afford to go to wherever he was. What did he do? He went to climb a tree to be able to see. That will let you know that some of these are moralities based on ignorance. You know what I'm saying? We don't know. As a man of God, everybody should be able to barge into your house and see you anytime. As a man of God, that means you never have to sleep. As a man of God, that means you will die young. That's all it means. I'm explaining that. That is why the Christian governor also, do you get my point? He has to have siren. That is why it is not humility for Bill Gates to say, what am I doing with a private jet? After all, we're all brethren. Listen, time is valued. Do you follow my point? I heard once Bishop Oyedepo went to East Africa, somewhere in East Africa. He wanted to go back home to catch his Sunday service. Listen, I used to go to Winners Chapel periodically in Lagos, and there's a world of difference between when Bishop Oyedepo is in service and he's not. He's the one they call. The other people are just following him. Do you follow my point? Uh-huh. It's a matter of fact. Everybody has his own calling, but in that particular environment, he's the main guy. So it's important it's in every service. So one day, I think when he was in Kenya or something, he wanted to go home, go back home. They told him that flight no day now. the next flight will go there, maybe not tomorrow, and that one will go through Addis Ababa, maybe Ethiopian Island, Airlines. And when will I get to Nigeria? Now that 4 days. Ah, the man look, wait, what? So what will I be doing here meanwhile? That is the major issue. 4 days, a man of his caliber. Listen, people say that, hey, we're all equal. You must be, your nose must be at the back of your head to be talking like that. So, you know, sometimes things, they think people don't have sense. They think it's humility. Humility. After all, we're all brethren. Bros, that thing get level. Do you understand my point? It get limit. And that's one that help us understand, to look at it from a servant's perspective. All right? You know what Bishop did? He put a call through to Lagos. The facts may be a little bit off, a bit ahead, but what I'm telling you, generally a true story. I think Bishop Abioye, they connected him. He said, oh boy, go to the airport, charter a plane. I'm in Kenya, I'm waiting. I'm waiting for you now. They went, chartered a plane to go and bring him back home. How am I going to be sitting down here doing for 4 days? Ah, you know, poor people will say, what's the cost of a charter flight? Those 4 days, after all, we could save that money. Your problem is poverty. You know, just get it clear. I heard the gist once. I don't have the accurate breakdown of it, but this one, it was said that if you poured money down, I think in $100 bills or a certain amount of bills, on the floor, and tell Bill Gates to be picking it up, that is a waste of his time. You don't understand. He makes money faster working in Microsoft than picking money from the floor. I don't know whether you hear what I said. That if he's in Microsoft working, at the end of the year, he cannot pick him from the floor. He can't pick $4 billion. In 1 year, they pay him dividends of $4 billion. Apart from salaries and other things that may accrue to him, as either the CEO or the chairman, when he was still working in those positions. So if you poured money on the floor for Bill Gates to be picking one, he won't bother. He's losing money by picking it. Now, get what I'm going to say. So such a man, if you waste his time in an airport for 1 hour, think about how many millions of dollars you've thrown away. To him, it's not luxury to have two jets waiting for him all the time. And with four pilots who can't go anywhere until he shows up. And the whole crew, because the money he saves by flying straight to where he's supposed to go is much more than it costs to run those planes. If you waste his time at the lobby of a hotel, you've wasted hundreds of thousands of dollars. You get what I'm trying to say? But poor people say, this man, they enjoy. You don't understand. He doesn't enjoy. Somebody was telling me about Lagos State Governor that he doesn't, I don't know how true this is as a matter of fact, but that he doesn't actually move around in a car. He uses a bus. You know why? The bus is a fully functional office. Computers, internet, table, everything. So when they are going somewhere, the man doesn't enter, he just enters into the vehicle with his secretary, with everybody, and work continues as if they are back in the office. The secretary comes in with the bag, everything. You're like, okay, where are the papers? He signs it, and they log on the internet. They are sending mails, receiving mails, answering people, phoning. That is, you see the bus, they go, fully tinted, everything, siren in front, woo, 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 woo. You say, this man, they enjoy. You do understand that he doesn't get more than 4 hours of sleep a day. This man is enjoying. He's enjoying. It's because you are poor. Do you understand what I'm saying? you're so used to riding your Tukumboka that you think the man riding a big one is enjoying. You don't understand that he doesn't even notice the kind of car he's in. Jimmy Carter, after he finished being president, he was a poor man. He was a millionaire before he became president. After presidency, he put all the things he had together. It was not worth $1 million anymore. I'm not explaining something to believers. I've not been able to even get into everything I wanted to say, but I hope you are learning one thing or two. Listen, you must look at life with the servant mentality. Anything you do, it is because this is what you have been told to do. When I finished preaching, there are times, like the other day, I wasn't feeling very well because of many things. I was quite tired. I would have loved to sleep. But then I had to record one single broadcast that was aired on radio on Monday. That was yesterday. And then when I finished editing and everything, and then we drove down to Cosmo FM and got that disc entered the studio at 8:29. And then there was commotion there that they forgot to kill it. The guy there said he's not on the schedule, therefore he can't play it. I was about to drive off. I told my wife, I'm feeling uncomfortable about something. I'm talking about the leading of the spirit, kind of thing I'm saying. I dropped the CD. Normally when I drop the CD, they take it in and I drive away. We got there, I think, around 8:28. So the man, I just said, oh, guys, it's almost 8:30. So he ran. They give us that privilege. I bring my CD sometimes very late. So the guy ran into the studio to give them the CD so that I can play it. I mean, then I was about to drive off. I told my wife, I'm not feeling comfortable about something. In fact, there was a situation around there. There's one crazy policeman there. Those of you know, the guy is there, you know, crazy and carrying his gun, threatening everybody. It's the kind of situation you should drive away from quickly. But I told my wife, I'm not feeling comfortable about something. I said, I'm coming. So I came down from the car. I even left my engine on, the light on. I just came out from the car. I started walking towards Cosmo FM. Then I saw that man who took the CD in running out. I said, what's the problem? He said, they said this. If those of you tuned in yesterday, you see that the program said about 3 minutes late. Yes. In those 3 minutes, we were making phone calls. Because as soon as I got there, when I got to the door, the man said, they said the thing is not on the schedule, therefore he can't play it. I said, what do you mean? This program has run uninterruptedly for almost 4 years, over 3 years now. I said, So I ran straight into the live studio. The guy was there. I said, what? He said, yeah, he knows, but that, look at it. He showed me the paper that this thing is not on the schedule. I said, what's the problem? He said, maybe I should call this person. I said, look, I don't have my phone here. Do you have credit on your own phone? He now brought his phone. He said, who do we call? Call one person. Okay, it's real success time, stuff, you know, all that story. Finally, the person said, okay, sorry, must have been a mistake. Please kindly go ahead and air the program. That's why I started about 3 minutes late. Those 3 minutes, I was standing there like this in the studio. After everything, we now drove home. Sometimes you just get tired. I won't lie to you. I asked myself, Hank, what's all this sweat for, Sam? Then when I came back, actually, shortly after I seen that, it was when I went to buy stuff in that place. I came to the car. My wife reading the text. There's one caller in the Nigerian army here that she had called to remember to tune in for the program. The guy had just sent her a text afterwards, thanking her for remembering to call him and that the program was a blessing. As I got home, Jessica sent me a text and said that she and her friends just finished listening to the program, that all her friends had booked the CD and the thing was so enlightening. Let me see. I'm sure I haven't deleted the text. Let me read it out for you. Yes, I still have it. Yes, this was, this text came in. MTN time is a bit wrong, so this came around 9:30 p.m. after the program. Said, good evening, sir. Your message is on the radio. All right? He said, your message on the radio is always a light to my path and my flatmates who have requested MP3 CDs. He said, today's message has been booked as it was richly loaded. Thank you, sir, for your care in the upliftment of people's spiritual lives in a very, this is in capitals, very and most realistic sense, making Christianity reachable, sweet, and welcoming with a longing heart. Good night, sir. When I read it, I said, Father, thank you. It was worth the effort. I said, Father, I thank you. It was worth the effort. Are you getting my point? That is, we have done what we are supposed to do. Woe betide me if tomorrow I go and pray, God, you know I need a new car. See the way I sweated for you. You know that I need a new car. Give me a new car now. Give me a new car now. After I gave last week, that charity place, when they were looking for money, I was one that gave it to them. This brother, when he was broke, I gave him money. Give me a new car. Give me a new car. God will say, oh, you foolish Galatian. The sweat you are sweating, whose sweat is it? Do you get my point? The energy with which you are sweating the sweat, whose energy is it? Are you getting what I'm going to say? The spirit, the drive, the breath with which you are doing all of these things, whose breath is it for you to say you have done something for me and I must pay you back? If you say that too much, God will put you out of ministry. Get me? And when I say ministry, I don't only mean preaching ministry. You are in business, he puts you out of business. Whatever it is you are in, God can kick you out for making demands based on what you have done. Jesus said it clearly, and go and learn it. So when you are finished, say, we are your unworthy. We have just done what we are supposed to do. Do you get my point? That's why I said the title of my meditations for this evening is what? The practice of ministry. Your whole life is a ministry. The life of slavery and the divine order. That's exactly how God says it should be. You are a slave. Sorry. That is the way it is. Are you getting my point? You are what? A slave. a bond servant of Jesus Christ who has no right to demand anything based upon what he has done. But the good news is that you're also a child. And children don't have to merit what they get. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's the way it is. You are a slave. You cannot demand anything based on what you have done. God, I have given you money. This is the seed I sowed in previous times. It's time for you to show up. Ah, God, is all right. You will see. You can't make that kind of demand of me. But then if you want something, that's it. As for children, they don't have to say, you see, I have done something for you. Daddy, it's my turn now. No. He just walks in and say, Daddy, my friend Tojuku has a bicycle. I don't have one. So, I want a bicycle. That's what children do. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Just decides that, no, Daddy, after watching TV, all these children in the TV, they are riding toy cars. Can I get a toy car? And then I begin to make plans because you are just the child. You do get my point? There's nothing like, Daddy, you know, last week when you and mommy were going out, your money finished. My little savings I gave to you. Daddy, you remember? I said, I remember. So when you are coming back today, remember, he that gives receives. No, let me just summarize it. Those are the two things you must bear in mind. As a slave of Christ and as a bond servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can't make demands because of the faithful works you have done. And number two, because you are a child of God, introduced to him by the Lord Jesus Christ, who has been born of the Spirit of God, you don't need to make demands based on good works. You make the request based on relationship. I hope you got my point.